We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. Today, our lesson will be entitled, Making Christ Your Personal Savior. How many of you in the audience today have ever stopped to think what it would mean to be lost? In this land of ours, in which we are blessed with so many of the comforts of life and so enthralled with modern conveniences, some of us fail to ever stop and consider this question of being lost. It is folly to push it from our mind. For whether we want to face it or not, it is before us. Whether we want to believe it or not, it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. The Lord tells us that the judgment of the righteous and the unrighteous shall be separated eternally. That is, the righteous and the unrighteous shall be separated eternally. The Lord said, "But when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the angels with Him, then he shall sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth or separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life." We've been reading from Matthew 25, 31 through 34, and then verse 41 and verse 46. After the judgment, there will be no turning back. If we are among those who are on the left hand of the Lord, our part shall be in everlasting fire, prepared, according to the Bible, for the devil and his angels. The lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, where the worm dieth not, but we shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. As we stand on this time's side of eternity and view the possibility of being lost, it should make us shudder. For I am convinced that there is not a person in this audience today who does not think about treading the streets of gold and drinking the water of life, walking and talking with the saints of all ages. But blindly wishing will accomplish nothing. We might as well face the facts and see reality as it actually is. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Paul said in the third chapter of Romans again, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned. Notice, it is simply means that there are none of us who can stand justified by our own merits before God. Jesus, John said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 8 and 10. Now then, this becomes a real problem. There are none of us who want to be lost, yet all of us sin. And Peter says, and if the righteous be scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 18. There then arises the cry of anguish and despair. There is no hope. We are all doomed. But in the very darkest moments of hopelessness, there arises that star of hope, Jesus, the Savior of the world. All is not lost, but there is a way of redemption and a way of escape. Christ, the only begotten Son of God, became man, born of woman, that he might save man from sin. The angel in prophecy of the Lord said, "He shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He said himself, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus gives hope to every man in that he can save him regardless of color, customs, language, or nationality from his sins. Not only is Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world, but he is the only Savior. Peter declared, "And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved." Acts 4 and verse 12. Christ is the only Savior of the world, but he is not Savior to every man. Does it seem a paradox that Christ is the Savior of the world, but not the Savior of every man? The answer is a simple one. Recently, there have been developed certain serums and drugs that seem to be hope for many dreaded diseases. These medical discoveries have been called the Savior of man from disease, but these drugs do not save every man, only those to whom they are administered. So it is with Christ. He is the hope, the Savior of the world, but He is the hope to only him who has Christ as his personal Savior. While salvation through Christ has been made available for all men, regardless of nationality, this matter of salvation is a personal and individual problem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul sets this forth clearly. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, since Christ is the Savior and the only one through whom we can be saved, the natural question that follows is, how may I make him my personal Savior? Well, there is a great deal of confusion in the lad as to how one makes Christ his personal Savior. But the Lord's Word explains it so simply. We find in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, turn there if you will, in your New Testaments, Hebrews chapter 5, 8 and 9, it explained this way. Though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. There is nothing difficult about this. Christ is the Savior of them who obey him. Obedience, then, is the condition for man making Christ his personal Savior. Someone says, I cannot believe this. For Paul says in Romans, the 10th chapter, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall I call on him in whom they have not believed? See how Paul says that all we have to do is to believe? But that is not what Paul says. Paul says that we call upon the Lord after we have believed upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Since the writer of Hebrews says that Christ is the author of salvation to all who believe on him, it is only logical to conclude that we call upon the Lord through obedience. The Lord explains it in this manner in the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, or who is in heaven. Matthew 7 and verse 21. There can be no mistake about what the Lord meant. It is not enough just to say that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or to fall down on your knees to pray to the Lord, but Christ said, he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. To many, Romans 10 and Matthew 7 appear to contradict one another, but this does not follow. Paul did not say that whosoever called the Lord's name should be saved, but he that calls on the name of the Lord. The Lord says that not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many have been confused and misled to believe that all they had to do was believe and call the Lord by his name. But the Lord said, he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Luke records the Lord saying it in this manner. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not my will? In other words, how dare you call me Lord or Master if you're not willing to serve me? I am not your Savior unless you're willing to obey my will. The Lord does not teach that all that is necessary for us to do is kneel by the radio and pray or merely accept Jesus into our hearts, but that we must do his will. Matthew 7 and verse 21. My friends have many left you to believe that you can be saved without obeying the gospel of Christ. I'm sure that many feel that way. I plead with all of my being today, wake up to your situation, for it is later than you think. Paul says that Christ is going to come with his power of angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. Christ is the only way, the only hope, and therefore, if you have him not as your personal Savior, you stand without hope, condemned before God. In the light of that situation, it is well for us always to study the right, and the right comes from God's Word. We need to stop and think right where we are and examine ourselves. Is Christ your personal Savior? He is not your personal Savior if you do not believe with all your heart that God is and that Jesus is His Son. Christ said, "He that believeth not is condemned already." I am persuaded that the vast majority of you believe that God is and that Christ is His Son. But is it a different story with you when it comes to the question of your repentance? Obedience is the condition of our salvation. Paul says, the times of this ignorance, therefore, God overlooked. But now he commandeth men everywhere that they should repent. Acts 17 and verse 30. So, one needs to turn from his sins. Not only that, once we have repented of our sins, we are to acknowledge with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. Our Lord Himself said that if we deny Him, He will deny us. Have you denied Him? Have you refused Him? Have you refused to accept His will for your life? Well, you can change that through repentance. And then acknowledging Him, acknowledging your faith in Him as the divine Son of God, allow someone to baptize you into Christ, immerse you in water, for the forgiveness of your sins. In all humility and kindness, but in frankness, I tell you that if you have not done these simple things, you have not Christ as your personal Savior. But there awaits for you only a certain fearful expectation of judgment to come. Men may have deceived you and led you to believe that you could be saved by some other means, but Christ says to you, as He said 2,000 years ago, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Awake to reality and face the truth. Christ is the only author of eternal salvation unto them that obey Him. Allow us to help you today in your simply becoming one of God's children, simply a Christian. That word Christian means belonging to Christ. We belong to Christ in no other way except being obedient to His will. So why not allow us to help you further in your Bible study and finding out what you need to do in order to be saved? Why not write for our free DVD entitled, "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" You can send for it at this address: The Church of Christ, 601 Washington Street, St. Albans, West Virginia, 25177. And that DVD is entitled, "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" And it is free of charge. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for worship, and again this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet on Wednesday evening for Bible study together, and there are classes for every age group. We hope that you'll take advantage of this as you have time and study all the Bible references that we've given and make sure of your salvation. By the way, we can be sure. We can be certain of our eternal salvation. Why not be with us again next week as once again we present Words of Truth? Until then, we bid you a good day.